Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers who had never seen Survivor before start from the very beginning. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris. And that throws me off because like we start at the beginning and you said we had never seen Survivor, but then we start at the beginning and it makes it sound like we haven't watched any, but we have.
Well, but we hadn't. And then we started from the beginning and now we're here.
Yeah, you didn't say the now we're here. You're just like, we started from the beginning.
Well, yeah, and we're on actually, season 8. We started from the beginning and we're on season 8.
I think you said we start from the beginning, and then I was even more confused. So this week we're going to talk about Robin Amber Against the Odds, episode 4. And to be clear, just the first like 6 minutes of it, because I haven't watched the whole episode yet. But I did
find the whole episode is just on those 6 minutes, guys.
I did find episode 4 online. I'll see if I can find more. I found it on Vimeo of Robin Amber Against the Odds. This was we talked about it briefly in a previous episode. There was a 10 episode series called Rob and Amber Against the Odds, where they're living in Vegas and just living in Vegas, I guess. This is after they're married. They've been married for like a year and a half at this point, I think. Takes place in 2007. In the episode I'm watching, it's called Bets and Bulls. And in the first 6 minutes, it shows Rob sleeping in very late and Amber being annoyed. She goes in to wake him up at like 7:50 a.m. He doesn't actually get out of bed until like 12:50. Hours later.
That's wild.
Meanwhile, she like cleans and stuff, and then he gets up and it's all clean and she's kind of annoyed by that. And then he goes to take some poker lessons from Daniel Negreanu, which we've talked about previously, and then goes to pick up his friend from the airport, but his poker lessons, he stayed too long, and so he's late for the airport. So he drives his fancy new sports car very fast. Like, they show a speedometer and he's going like 120 miles an hour down the highway to the airport.
Wow.
Meanwhile, Amber is going to work out, try to get fit for a reunion. That's where I'm at in the episode. So,
for what kind of reunion?
I think high school reunion, college reunion, you know, one of those.
Oh, but not like a Survivor reunion.
Correct. Yeah. I was going to type high school, but I couldn't remember if it was like high school or college, a reunion like that. So that's where I'm at in the episode, you know, cliffhanger. I'll watch the rest of it, see what happens.
It is a little bit buck wild to me that this like reality TV star who has won $1 million feels like she needs to like get fit and look presentable for their high school reunion.
I don't know. I think that's how everybody would feel.
I mean, yeah, but it's okay.
You want to look good?
I won $1 million since high school. What have you done?
Taught math. But really what we're going to talk about mostly is season 8, episodes 13, 14, and 15, leading up to the finale of this season of All-Star Survivor. So starting off with episode 13, which is called Stupid People, Stupid, Stupid People, which we know at this point who says that at the time. I didn't know who said it.
When, this is going to sound like a tangent, when you were in high school, you went to France?
I did.
Your senior year?
My junior year.
And
my senior year, I went to Italy.
Oh, okay. Okay. When did you go to Italy? Do you remember?
June 2004.
Oh, that would have been after your senior year.
It was after graduation, but it was still through the school.
I take it all back. Never mind.
Okay.
This episode aired in April 2004, and I was like, maybe you were in France.
Yeah. No. Nope. April 22nd, right before your birthday, right before you turned 12.
Yeah, that's true. Boy. 11-year-old Patrick. Let's not talk about him. Stupid people, stupid, stupid people.
Wait, why? What would it have mattered if I was in France or Italy when it aired?
It's just like a fun fact.
Oh. It was right before high school graduation, so I was gearing up to, I don't know.
Yeah, but like nothing. That's true of this whole season. For some reason, I thought one of those trips was in April, and I was like, oh.
No, my France trip was in March of 2003.
Right. Okay.
So 13 months before this, so celebrate that.
Yeah, great.
Anyway. So we see Shianne is kind of upset that Kathy is gone. She asks Rob about shaking things up, because like Shianne realizes she's like bottom of the totem pole here, probably going to get like knocked off. Or I guess she's bottom of the last run of the ladder. I probably shouldn't say totem pole. Yeah. Shan's next one to go. And so she wants Rob like to see if he's going to shake things up. And he's like, nah, I'm going to stick with the original plan. Like,
right.
Which is telling her like she's going to go. So she needs to try to do what she can to like shake things up to make sure she's not going to be gone next. That's the only thing I have before they go to their challenge, actually.
Same. Yeah.
So they go to this challenge. We've seen this before in the Amazon season, maybe.
Yes, it was in that season.
So they have a questionnaire about their castmates that they're supposed to answer first. And then they do a challenge where Jeff asks them to like pick who they think is the most chosen answer for those questions. And
I
then
have heard
everybody who's correct gets to like chop down a rope for one of the people remaining, and three hits on the rope breaks their face and they get knocked out.
Their fake face.
Yeah. Their mask.
I have heard that this is a common challenge that keeps repeating and is often called touchy subjects.
Oh, nice. I like this challenge.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't note down anything in particular other than, other than that, like a couple, like Alicia gets mad about some of the responses related to her.
Yeah, I want to talk about that because maybe we should just talk about it now. One of the questions is which of the remaining castaways is like least deserving of being an all-star. And it turns out that it was a tie between Alicia and Shein.
Mm-hmm.
And Alicia gets very, very upset about that because she's like, yeah, everyone thinks I shouldn't be here. But actually, there's seven people. And so in order for it to be a tie between two people, max three people think Alicia shouldn't be there, mm-hmm. which like is not that many people, I guess. So it's like she got really, really
it's about
upset
half.
Like it's less than half.
Yeah. But like you're logicing it in her head. She had like the majority of responses think she shouldn't be there.
Right. But it was a tie.
I understand. You're trying to use logic for emotional response. So yeah. Like in her head,
welcome to my life, Chris.
She's rounding up her 3/7 to half and then rounding up that half to one whole and being like, everybody thinks I shouldn't be here.
Yeah. And she's incorrect.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, one other thing about this challenge was that the winner of this challenge, Jeff explains in the beginning.
Rupert.
Well, yes, Jeff doesn't explain that in the beginning. That'd be wild. But the reward is that everyone is going to go to dinner, but there will be seven meals ranging from like a really nice steak dinner down to a bowl of rice.
And water.
And water from their own camp.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything in between. And the winner gets to decide who gets what at that dinner. I think that I would actively have tried to lose this challenge. That sounds like an awful reward. I do not want to win.
Yeah, this is one. So like Rupert ends up winning, and once I don't know if Jeff describes, I think he describes that after.
No, he says it in the beginning of like they get to control the menu.
Well, so Rupert wins, and then when he like is having to pass it out, like he's not happy about this, but he does it in a way, like maybe the best way possible, I guess. And so they go to this meal. Alicia is mad.
Alicia.
About some of the responses. At one point, I think maybe Shein or somebody else was like, yeah, I wasn't happy with mine either. And she's like, yeah, I'm talking about me. And Jenna gives Rupert a suggestion on how to like divvy up the food. What he ends up doing is say, like he picks the best meal for himself, which is like the steak dinner and an open bar, which he takes good use of and gets very drunk. He just drink after drink after drink. But then what he does is he picks somebody and lets them pick what they want. And then it kind of goes through that. So it's not like him saying like specifically like, Rob, you're going to get this. He's like, okay, Rob, you choose what you want. And so it kind of puts like picking of the bad stuff a little bit on the other person. But ends up that Rupert gets like a steak dinner with open bar. Rob gets a burger and fries. Jenna gets a hot dog. Amber gets a sandwich. Alicia gets a salad. Tom gets potatoes. Shein gets the rice and water.
Yeah. I mean, it still is like Rupert has to prioritize everybody on the tribe.
Yeah.
Like he handles it the best that he can, but it is still awful.
Right. After all of this, they discuss trying to like shake stuff up a little bit more. Tom and Alicia think that they are locked in for the final four with Rob and Amber. Shianne talks to Alicia about changing stuff up, and she kind of gets shut down and says that it's too late for challenges. So then we go to the immunity challenge, where we've seen this sort of thing before, and we even saw something kind of similar to this style. I guess it's not the same thing. No, I take that back. I was going to say we saw something like this in season 41, but not really. It was different. But we've seen this before. So they have their hand tied to a water bucket above them. If they lower it too much, the water bucket tips over and dumps on them. Last person standing wins. Shianne, throughout this whole thing, knows that like she is out if she doesn't win. And so that determination is enough for her. So like Amber drops after 4 minutes, Jenna after 10, and it goes on through to Rupert and Shianne are the last two for a long time. Rupert drops just after 2 hours of having his hand raised above his head. And then that makes Shianne the winner. And so she will not be going home because she got immunity. And then she is very excited about this and expresses her excitement out loud because she knows that she's not going home, which means she still has a chance for winning $1 million. And Alicia is pretty annoyed that she was like celebrating this, which I think makes sense that you should celebrate the fact that, hey, you might still have a chance to win $1 million.
Yeah, Alicia was like, don't get cocky, you still have to live with us, which like is maybe fair, but like that's not, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah, I don't think it was so much Shianne being cocky. It was just she was like excited that she was able to last another round of votes and stuff. Right. It does have, there's a shot with Shianne talking to Rupert where she tells him that like Rob is the kingpin and so he's going to need to go. So we'll see if that like comes up. Or I mean, we know it doesn't actually happen, but we'll, that was put in there to like maybe come up later. And also because like they have to include like as much as possible going into tribal council to make it like have some level of suspense, so it's not like super obvious who's going. But we learn that Alicia is going to be the one to go here, and she gets eliminated with 6-1, which has happened I think this season already. Kim, the first time it happened was in season 2 with Kimmy. I also found out that a vote of 6-1 has happened 24 total times in all of Survivor, so all 41 seasons there's
that's
been a 6-1 vote.
I would expect
24 times, which is almost 4% of the time. It's a 6-1 vote. There's been a total of 613 votes in all of Survivor, which is about 15 per season.
Huh. Okay. I would expect it to be higher than that, I guess. But okay.
So it doesn't count the final tribal council votes.
Right.
And then sometimes there might be other things that happen. Like we've already seen like people choose to leave. And so there's no tribal council and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Okay. I was thinking that this only happening 24 times seems low because 7-1, you said, right? Or 6-1?
6-1.
I would imagine like is not, I mean, it's not that uncommon. And that means it happens like about half of the seasons, which I would just would have guessed that it's closer to once per season.
Yeah, but there's other combinations of 7. So like 5-2 is also a pretty common response.
Right. But I would have guessed that 6-1 is much more common than 5-2, I guess.
It is a little bit more common, but 5-2 has also happened a lot, and 4-3 is a little bit less common, but has happened some. There's also other things of like immunity idol stuff, and like so. There's several combos that affect the like things adding up to 7.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay,
but yeah. So then we go into the next episode, episode 14, a Shapira surprise.
I am realizing that I don't know
what the Shapira surprise
means.
I mean, the original Shapira was Rob, Alicia, Amber, and Tom of the remaining people.
Yeah, everyone but Shianne.
Yeah. So maybe, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because those, like, there's no surprise there. Like, those people were allied already. I will say in the previous episode, the stupid people, I mentioned when we started that we know who says that now. That was Shianne that said that.
Yes, after she wins the immunity challenge, she's like, I tried to work with them. I tried to make something happen. Like, and now they're all like running around with their heads cut off. Stupid people.
So this one, this episode deals a lot with people being annoyed at Jenna. Shianne is annoyed at Jenna and Rupert is annoyed at Jenna. I guess people being like mainly those two are the ones that are most annoyed.
Yeah, but that's 2 out of 6.
Yeah.
That's like all everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, you get it. Rupert is starting to get it's eating at him that like he's always wanted to go catch his fish And then people are just expecting a fish to be given to them like every day to eat, which Jenna tries to like explain why that logic is slightly faulty, but I don't think she does the best job of explaining. Like, it doesn't get through to him. But her reasoning here, which it comes up at tribal council later, is that like everybody has a variety of, everybody has chores kind of, and so like Rupert's is that he's going to catch the fish, while, and while he's doing that, it's not that everybody's doing nothing, like other people are doing things. Jenna's preparing the plantains, and other people might be doing stuff. Now, I'm not saying that Rupert doesn't do more work than other people, but
That's Jenna's argument.
Right. That was Jenna's argument there.
Specifically, she was like, even don't give it to other people, just give it to me, kind of. And I was like, Jenna, I don't necessarily disagree with your argument, but like, can't you see that you are annoying this person right now who, right, like, this is a bad strategic idea?
Yeah. And where Rupert was even getting extra annoyed was like, he was like, I'll catch the fish, but like, when I bring it back, you all can help clean the fish. Like, I understand I'm good at catching fish. I'll catch fish. You all can help clean too. And that's where Jenna was like, well, I'm not, like, I'm doing plantains. Like, I'm doing something.
Yeah. This happened because he caught a bunch of fish and then just cleaned one and went and cooked it for himself, mm-hmm, and told everybody else, like, there's some fish over there. You can go clean it. Like, he did actually catch everybody fish.
Right. And I think he probably would have too. It was more like he was like, I'm hungry now, so I'm going to clean and cook my fish right now. And yeah.
I do think that this was, I mean, like, Jenna made a big deal out of this when she probably shouldn't have, but Shein made it an even bigger deal because, and I think Shein was trying to be strategic here, where she was like, Rupert caught all that fish. He can do whatever he wants with it. Like, if he wants to eat them all, he can.
Right.
Which I don't know if she actually believes that or not, or if she was just trying to like be on Rupert's side as a strategic move, kind of.
Yeah, I think it was smart, or like, she's doing every little thing she can because she's still going to be like next on the chopping block.
Right.
Yeah, we go to reward challenge.
Yes.
Where they find out that their family is coming out. So they all arrive, and then we see Amber's mom, Rob's brother, Shein's mom, Tom's son, Jenna's brother, Rupert's wife. Of these, we have seen Tom's son before. Or maybe we didn't see him before. I've seen Tom's son because I watched a little bit of their TV show.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that they did a visit. It was videos.
Yeah, that's right. So maybe none of these people we've seen before then.
I mean, we have seen, like, we saw Rupert's wife at a reunion. I remember her.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't think that we've seen anybody else.
Yeah.
Rob and Shein would have been eliminated before that.
And so this is the... Yeah. Classic from these early seasons, at least, of the like food eating challenge, except this one, the guests that came on have to eat it, which we've seen that twist before where it's not them eating it, it's their guests that are eating it.
Right.
And the winner gets to have an overnight with a loved one. And so it's like elimination style. So all of them try the first one, whoever's last one down is out. So the first one is a fish head, which was featured in Malaysia. Amber's mom is out from that one. Then flying cockroaches, which is featured in Panama. Shein's mom's out from that. Fafaru, which is from the Marquesas, which they make them do the style there where they have like their hands behind their back and they just have to like put their face down into it. Which, yeah, if you don't remember Fafaru, that was basically like fish that you put in, is it just water? Some liquid. And it just like cooks in the sun, basically. Which, yeah, is, it just like rots in the sun.
Rots and ferments. Yeah.
Right.
It's...
Oh, Rupert's wife is out from that. Then a tarantula from Thailand. Jenna's brother is out from that because he took a drink of water during that, and that was against the rules, which he was like, oh, you didn't say that, and they're like, yeah, we definitely said that.
Yeah, they definitely did.
Fun fact, you've eaten a tarantula, right?
I've eaten a tarantula. So I when they did that, when they showed it, me and Kayla were like, oh, like, I was like, oh, it's tasty.
Then the last one was a live witchetty grub from Australia, and Rob's brother is out from that. Tom's son just like downs it in one. It's like swallows it whole
so fast.
And so Tom and his son get to go spend a night at the old Shapira camp. Maybe that's the Shapira surprise, like surprise, you get to go to the old Shapira camp.
Oh, maybe that would make sense.
And he gets to also take another survivor and their loved one. And so he takes Rob and his brother just because he thought they would be like the most fun to hang out with, which turns out it was accurate. That's what I thought. I think that's why.
I thought it might have just been like second place.
Maybe. I thought he said it was because they thought they'd be fun to hang out with. So they get pizza and beers and just kind of hang out, get drunk, party together. It does have them like kind of split up. Tom talks to his son about getting about strategy a little bit, just like keeping Rob allied with him. Rob talks to his brother about strategy. Rob says that he doesn't trust Tom. And yeah, it's mostly just them hanging out. I don't really have anything else about their hangout.
Yeah, no, I mean, they looked like they had a lot of fun. That group of four people, I think that I would not have fun to hang out with.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
They return to camp and they get to have Tom's son and Rob's brother like help out around camp a little bit. So they've got them like carrying wood for firewood and stuff like that. And Rupert takes them spearfishing. Bo loses the end of the spear of one of the spears, of one of those Hawaiian slings, which Rupert would be more annoyed about, but he had that second one. And so he's like, all right, I'm still good. I got a second one. This one is just mine now. Nobody's allowed to use it.
He was still pretty annoyed by it.
Yeah. And then the next day they get tree mail, which talks about like building fire, or maybe they do build fire. What I just have tree mail, build fire. Oh yeah. The tree mail talks about how they'll have to build fire probably. And then the immunity challenge, we find out, hey, they got to build fire. So they have to build fire. And then it's on this big like seesaw thing. And then they have to fill up the other end of a bucket with water to raise the fire to burn a strain, but the bucket has a leak in it. They have to keep the fire going. And so it's like managing your time to get the fire built up and strong enough while you're also filling this bucket with water that's constantly leaking.
Which managing it was very important because Rob very quickly takes a big lead, gets the fire going, starts filling it up with water, gets it like full of water, and the fire is up at the string, except his fire has gone out.
Yes. So it seems like Rob's going to win. He didn't. And then he's out of matches. So he just like can't do a fire. And so he's mad at himself. And then it turns out Amber also runs out of matches. Then Rupert also runs out of matches. Then Jenna also runs out of matches. And so it's down between Tom and Sheehan, and Tom is able to get it to work and get his fire up. I wonder, so do you think, Mike, I think I already know the answer to this, but if they all had run out of matches, Jeff just wouldn't have given anybody immunity probably, right?
Oh, maybe. I thought he might have just like given everybody more matches and said, okay, start again, go.
Maybe. I think it would have been better precedent to just be like, all right, none of you were successful. There's no immunity this week.
I like that idea. I hope that happens at least some point. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tom wins. Tom has immunity, which is bad news for Sheehan because she already thought she was on the chopping block and she didn't get immunity. Then we go back to camp. Tom talks about how he wants Jenna out. Rupert is kind of in on this because he's annoyed with Jenna. Sheehan is trying to organize this as well, but then she thinks she needs another. And so she goes to Amber. But at this point, if it is Tom, Jenna, Rupert, or not Jenna, Tom, Rupert, Sheehan, they could make it have it be a 3-3 tie. But I guess maybe they don't want to go to a tie. So I don't know why they didn't. I don't know.
Yeah. I think a tie would be like drawing rocks and they don't want that.
Yeah. Unless somebody, I guess if somebody flipped, they would probably more likely flip to Sheehan instead of Jenna. And so maybe it would have happened the same thing anyways. There is a pretty awful quote from Jenna about Sheehan where Jenna says she opens her mouth and I feel like putting a gun in mine, which is a pretty pretty dramatic way of saying that she's like annoyed with Sheehan when she talks.
Yeah, but I mean, I agree with you. Also, I think that we have rightfully grown to be more sensitive about things like that in the last 19 years.
Yeah. That's true. They're also talking about stuff. Sheehan says that she knows a lot, but she's going to bring it up at tribal council, which we kind of see her do, which we'll talk about here in a second when we go to tribal council. So at tribal council, I actually noted down a few things that they talked about for this one. Jenna talks about, says that Rob tries the fish, but most of the work is done by Rupert and by Tom. Amber talks about how she gets annoyed by all of the paranoia that is like caused by the show. Rupert says the paranoia is kind of ripping people apart. And then this is where Sheehan calls out Jenna. She's trying to throw Jenna under the bus and pull Rupert in on her side with this. And then she kind of lays out what the alliances are at this point. and says that she is deciding to vote for who is the most annoying or who might win. She's split between those two. I think giving all the info is good on her part for this, but I think saying that she is split between voting on who might win or who's the most annoying is bad. Like, that shows bad gameplay clearly there. Like, if you can't just handle being annoyed by somebody, like, obviously the right choice would be voting out who you think is going to win. And so, like, just that there tells me, like, ooh, that's bad look, like, from the jury or from the other tribe mates there, I think.
Oh, that's interesting, because, like, I agree with you, but for a different reason. Of if she is spilling all this info, trying to get people to vote with her, saying that she doesn't know who she's going to vote for is not getting anybody to vote with her.
Yeah, that's true. But I guess I think at this point, I guess I don't know if they're allowed to explicitly say who they're voting for.
No, but, like, everybody else knows that if she's saying those two things, she means Jenna versus Rob.
Oh, right. Gotcha. So she should be like, I'm voting on, like, I'm planning on getting out rid of the, like, person who's the most annoying because it brings down stuff at camp. And then people would be like, oh, okay, maybe we'll vote with you. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So then we go to voting. Shan votes Amber, saying that she's the master. Shan votes Amber, saying that she's a mastermind, and it's a vote of respect. So I think, like, Shan at this point knew she was gone, and so she was just throwing Amber, like, a just like showing her some respect that, like, she's the one who's actually the best out of her and Rob, kind of. But we've seen this, like, we saw this in the newest season 41, that, like, you have to be careful throwing out people's names, or not careful, but, like, when you throw out people's names like that, of like, hey, you're really good, you might win, that's putting a target on them. And so that happens here, maybe with Amber getting a vote for her. Right. So Shan has gone with a vote of 5-1. This first happened with Silas in season 3, and it has happened 35 times, which is at about 5.7%. So this has happened almost once a season on average throughout the whole series. And we head into The Instigator, the second to last episode before we head into, like, the finale and the reunion and all that sort of stuff. And they have just been getting poured on with rain, and they're tired of being with these people and being rained on. And it's just kind of miserable around camp.
Yeah. And we see Jenna and Rupert talking and kind of, like, discussing, like, their alliance that they've had since, like, day one, essentially.
Right.
And Jenna brings up the idea that maybe they should vote out Rob without fucking looking around.
Yeah. And Rob's standing right there.
I think that Rob handles this perfectly. In that, well, he does not talk to them about it at all.
But, and Rupert tries to switch and be like, so we got to beat Tom, right? Like, Rupert tries to, like, play it cool and be like, yeah, but we want to get rid of Tom. And Rob's like, just pretends like he, yeah, was none of it. But then he takes it back to talk to Amber. Rupert has a good quote here where he says, paranoia will destroy you.
Yeah, I was a big fan of that one. That should be our episode title.
And then they go to the reward challenge, and there's a truck there. So they're like, hey, we're going to win a truck. I didn't even note down the truck.
Chevy Colorado.
Oh, I did. Oh, yeah. A GM Chevy Colorado. this is an elimination based thing where, like, they will kind of slowly get eliminated throughout. There is a, like, balance. This is a combination of a bunch of stuff we've seen this season. So there's a balance beam, belly crawl, slide puzzle, catapult stuff up into a basket, rope ladder, balance on a rope, zip line, all sorts of stuff. And they also, the winner will get a truck and also get to go to a drive-in movie. Jeff drops some trivia here where he says that nobody who's won the car has ever won the season.
Yes. Yeah. Do you remember who all has won cars?
Colby.
I don't think there was one in season 1, so I think Colby's the first one.
Season 3 was Ethan, I think. No, because he won, so it wasn't Ethan. Ooh. Was it Lex?
It was Lex.
Then I'm not going to remember anybody after that.
Oh, that's weird. Those are longer ago.
Yeah, but we've talked about them more because they come up in future seasons.
Oh, that's fair. I say that, but, like, I don't... Oh, season 4 was Sean.
Okay.
Season 5, I have no clue. Maybe Ted or Clay. I don't remember that one at all.
Me either.
Season 6 was Matthew.
And then season 7
was... They do, like, a little grill out with Rob.
Was Pearl Islands?
7. Well, yes. Pearl Islands did not win the car.
I know. I was trying to remember what was in that season. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe fair play. I don't know.
So none of these people who are competing now won the car the first time is maybe the important takeaway from this.
Yes. But also I wanted to throw out there that Jeff describes the prize as the new truck and like going to watch a drive-in with all the fix-ins and everything like that, which, you know, very obviously means you're going to get to take a person or two with you.
Right.
But also, wouldn't it be funny if they didn't and it was just one person alone in a drive-in movie? Because that'd be pretty great.
That'd be pretty good. Especially, I could see them throwing that twist in there just because they'd be expecting it. And they'd be like, and all right, see you later.
Yeah, uh-huh. That would, I mean, honestly, I think that I would love that of just like, okay, I got away from everybody. I get to go chill and watch a movie for a little bit.
No, except relax. Jeff crashes it and he's like, all right, you're watching a movie with me. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of thing happened in like season one. I think it was with Kelly, maybe. She won a prize where it was like you get to go like hang out at a bar and watch a little clip from the first episode of the TV show. And it was hanging out with Jeff. She didn't get to take anybody.
Yeah.
So for this, Rupert was the first one eliminated, followed by Jenna, followed by Tom. And then it's Rob and Amber competing in like the last legs of this, and Rob wins. And clearly he's going to take his love with him. He's going to take Amber with him.
Yeah.
Which I was excited. I was like, oh, date night
in the back, and Jeff gets to ride shotgun.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. So it's like, oh, nice date night. And Rob gets in and Jeff's like, all right, I'm taking shotgun. And I was like, Jeff, what are you doing? Like, you've been seeing this love blossom all season. And you're just like just blocking this right now. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
So they drive to where their movie is going to be. And the movie they're going to watch is Lord of the Flies, which is not what I was expecting.
But it, you know, is the, what did he say? It inspired this whole TV show.
Yeah. I should look up. So top movies of 2004, when I just Google searched that, things that came up are The Village, the M. Night Shyamalan movie, yeah. Primer, which is a great like time travel based movie, The Day After Tomorrow, The Girl Next Door, Euro Trip, Secret Window, Butterfly Effect. Man, this was a rough year for me.
Yeah. But that also, like, this came out in 2004, but it aired, or sorry, yes, it aired in 2004. Most of those movies would have been later, I think.
Yeah, that could be. So maybe it's like more 2003 movies, which would be up. yeah, like Old School, they could have watched that. Big Fish.
Oh, yeah.
How to Lose Big a Guy Fish in 10 Days.
Or... Yeah, none of those are like themed, you know?
That's true.
Except Big Fish, I guess, kind of.
Oh, they show up in there before they watch the movie. Jeff's like, oh, yeah, totally forgot. My mistake. I got to show you this thing right around the corner. And so they walk around the corner and holy shit, Amber gets a car too. There's another car there. And Amber gets a Malibu Max, which is fucking awesome. Like, she just like happened to get picked because Rob won. And so like normally, like, it's not like an actual couple who's like winning this, like going together on here. But like, can you imagine just getting like lucky enough to like get to go on the reward? And it's like, oh yeah. And also because you were lucky enough to get picked, you also get a car.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
So they get to hang out. They watch the movie, do some cuddling, have some candy, some snacks, and head back to camp where they smuggled some candy back for the others.
Well, kind of. They smuggled some candy back, but split it into five piles so that everybody gets some candy, including them.
Yeah.
It felt very Nalia, would anyone like this mint from my mouth in season four?
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But that's what they're actually giving people stuff. They're not like giving them candy out of their own mouth.
They are, but it is like, but we are also going to keep some of this candy, even right. though we just got to eat it already. That's a little bit rough. Yeah. I was gonna say something and I don't remember what it was. So
they do decide, like, they're talking about like, ooh, Amber's like, should I tell people I also got a car or not? They do decide to, so they tell people that she also got a car.
Yeah. Which I think is a mistake.
I think so too.
I mean, I guess not. I'm wrong.
Well, it just might have been a non-factor, like right or wrong, like one way or the other wouldn't have made a difference, probably.
I think I would have been nervous that Jeff would ask about it at tribal council.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because like the idea of not telling is just like a lot of the stuff is like, hey, winning $1 million. So like anything you get that's monetary is like, oh, you don't need $1 million. So you don't need to win. And so like that's why you might not want to tell. But yeah, you don't want to not tell people. And then Jeff's like, hey, big surprise, you got that new car. And everybody's like, what?
So with that stat of nobody who has won the car has ever won the game, can that still be true? Like Amber didn't win. She did get a car.
Yeah.
She did not win the challenge. Does it just have to be changed to like whoever wins the car reward challenge never wins the game?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, because other people have won cars before. Like the winners of the season usually get a car. Or in season 4, everybody at reunion got a car, even though the, I mean, that was after the season, obviously, but yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay.
So we see a little bit more of Rupert is getting kind of annoyed that he's working a lot and Rob is not working. So Rupert's trying to like form some sort of alliance with Tom and Jenna, and then they can kick off Rob or Amber. And so Rob kind of knows this is happening. So he wants to instigate a fight between Rupert and Tom, which 100% works like immediately. I don't even remember. I just have noted down. Rob wants to instigate a fight. It works. I didn't have noted down how he started the fight.
Yeah. I don't remember if this was before or after the immunity challenge, because I have a similar thing here, but I do remember that there's a whole, like, you guys are both turning against me and turning against each other. And like, you don't trust each other anyway. How are you working together type of thing? And Rob is just kind of like pointing out that no one is trustworthy, kind of ignoring the fact that he is included on that list somehow.
Right. Yeah, it's just basically like stirring up the distrust there. So that way, like, even if Rupert or Tom think they can get this alliance with Jenna to vote out Rob or Amber, Rob's like, well, maybe Tom is still allied with me. Like, you don't know, or maybe Rupert's still allied with me. And so it's because they already have these alliances that have been formed for a while, it's a little bit shakier to change those up when they feel like more confident in the ones that have been around for a while, which ends up working. The immunity challenge is a word search where you have to find the tribe names of all of the seasons. And then where all of the words intersect is a new letter, and they have to take that and unscramble it. Amber is the first one to get all of the words, and she has all of the letters, but she struggles to unscramble them. Rob does it successfully and wins. So Rob gets immunity here. They talk a little bit more strategy after the immunity challenge, but we go to tribal council. We get a really annoyed look from the jury here, which at this point, the jury is Sheehan, Alicia, Lex. Is that it?
Kathy.
And Kathy. When at one point Amber says that, Jeff talks about like getting close to the end, and Amber says she can smell the money. The jury's pretty annoyed hearing that. And then they go to vote, and Rob, when he votes Tom, says pony rides over, you're welcome for carrying you this far, and votes Tom out. Tom is eliminated 4-1, which first happened when Sean got eliminated season 1 and has happened 38 times, which is about 6.2% of the time,
which is also, I believe, the third time it has happened this season.
4-1.
Yes,
I can check. Yeah, that's correct. It happened when Ethan got eliminated and Jerry got eliminated. Yeah, and the jury kind of looks annoyed again with Tom getting eliminated, which made me realize, ooh, this is going to be a fun jury talk at the end of the season. Like,
yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah, I will say, so let's do our MVP, and then we'll talk about like next week's episode briefly, wrap stuff up. So last week, our MVP, we've picked Rob as MVP. Both of us picked Rob once. For the first time, first batch of episodes. And then we picked Kathy and Sheehan, and then we both picked Rob last time. So now we got to pick another one, somebody this time. This is all me just stalling for time while I'm thinking about who I'm going to pick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready. It should, well, maybe not. Maybe I'll save that for later. MVP does not actually matter points-wise because it can't change anything. But that's okay.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Rob.
Boston Rob.
Yeah, it sucks. I it's no fun to have it be the same person every time, but he just like keeps winning challenges. Even when it was going to be like he was on the chopping block because people were like shaking stuff up, he instigated a fight to make that not happen. So like, it's just good gameplay. I do feel slightly bad. Not like, I feel like always picking Rob is not acknowledging Amber for this. And my reason for that is normally the talking we see with other people is Rob related, not Amber related. Like they do their talking, just the two of them. And then also Rob's just winning challenges.
Yes. That was my thought too, of like, they together are like a duo here, but also yeah, Rob's winning the challenges. Like Rob won in this batch of episodes, there were 6 challenges and Rob won half of them.
Just
two of them.
Two.
Just
he two. Got taken along on one of the rewards.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know.
Tom won two. Rupert won one and Shion won one.
But Tom also got voted out.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And one was he won because his son ate food quickly.
Right. Yes. That is a really funny sentence.
Yeah. So this is kind of like cementing in that Patrick is winning the season fantasy wise. And will win. I'll have second and Kayla will have third. So next week we will talk about the final episode, deciding who the winner is, the reunion. And there's like a special episode that's like announcing America's fan favorite. So it'll be like episode 16, 17, and 18. And we'll have Kayla on, I assume.
Yes. Yeah.
Kayla will be back. Season. And she'll have to sing a song or something about Patrick. The week after that, we will talk about season 9's premiere. I looked up the episode description for season 9. I don't know if you know anything about season 9.
I think it's in Vanuatu.
It is.
And I'm pretty sure that's the description all I know, says, except I do know that one of the contestants ends up dating Jeff Probst. Fun fact.
The episode description says 18 new castaways. So we're up to 18 people again. All new. Separated into two tribes of men versus women. So we got men versus women again.
Oh, okay.
Are stranded on the remote islands of Vanuatu in the South Pacific. So there's some new info for us. We're keeping with 18 right now. And we know season 41 is 18. So I wonder if from here on out, it's just going to be 18. I'm sure they'll have some like changes up every once in a while, but maybe it'll be 18 for a while. And this is two tribes of 9 instead of three tribes of 6. So we'll see how that goes. Men and women again.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the men and women again.
Yeah, so this is what, 3 seasons later. So we'll see if like a year and a half of real time passing, how that changes the dynamic of men versus women battle of sexes talk. I ended up liking that season a lot, but that first, like, I don't know, 3-4 episodes when it was the men and women were split from each other. There's lots and lots of gross sexist talk. So we'll see how that changes.
I do wonder if some of that might get shut down because Jenna won. So it is like, no, a woman won that season, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point, so we're what? After this season, which we know Amber wins, 8 seasons, how many we've had? We had what? Richard?
I think it's 5-3. Richard, Lex, and Brian are the only men.
Okay.
And then women were Tina, Vesepia.
And it wasn't Lex. It was Richard and Ethan. Lex did not win.
Did I say Lex?
You did.
Oops. Yeah. Richard, Ethan, Brian. And then we've had Tina, Vesepia, Jenna, Sandra, Amber.
Yeah. So, yeah. So women got an edge on them up there, too. So, yeah, we'll see how that season kind of goes. But that'll be a couple weeks from now. So next week, you got episode 16, 17, 18 of the season. And then if you want to get a start on season 9, feel free to do that. We'll do that one. I'll say all this right now, and I'll say it again next week's episode 2. But our plan is we're going to do the premiere episode as a standalone, and then we'll do episodes 2, 3, 4, 5, episodes 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So we'll do like batches of 4 until we get up to the finale. So the premiere and the finale will be standalone, and then batches of 4 in between. And then we get into March, where we get brand new episodes, season 42, where we will not be spoiled by stuff because we'll be watching right along with you all with new episodes.
Yeah.
But for this week of Tribal Council, we got to wrap things up. So if you have any questions, comments about how this season went, looking forward to season 9, anything like that, email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at tribalcouncil20. For this week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.